Pete Martinez. Thank you, Jim. Thanks for inviting me to teach. This is really a great privilege, and I just can't say how wonderful it is to be in this body of Christ. You know, today is Resurrection Sunday. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Actually, it's really Resurrection. It's actually the day after Resurrection Sunday, but or the day after Resurrection, something like that. Sunday, the day after. Maybe that's what it is. So we're remembering Resurrection Sunday, you know, and we know, maybe some of you, I don't know how many of you have studied this before, but the resurrection actually occurred near sunset yesterday. So Saturday, near sunset, right? Somewhere around there. We're going to look at that in a little bit. But according to the Word, in the believer's experience and identification with Christ, okay, you know, we follow after Christ. But we remember that before we could be raised, we first had to die. And I'm going to look at that first, because it's really important. Many times we jump, we're raised, but really, we died in Christ first. And we've got to look at that. Take your Bibles and go to Galatians chapter 2. This is where we're going to start. You know, he first had to die before he could be raised. And so therefore, in our identification with him, our complete identification with him, we also had to die. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. So what happens when you get crucified? Yeah, you die. That's what happens. The Romans are very, very good at doing this, by the way. Very good at executing people in this way. Jesus Christ died. Look at Romans chapter 6. I wanted to cover this because this is actually a great comfort to me, as we're going to see. Romans 6, verse 3. It says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, and the word baptized is to be immersed. It really is to be like, and it's, we're not talking in water, we're talking into who? Jesus Christ. Completely immersed in him. Unto Jesus Christ were baptized or immersed into his death. Wow. We were immersed into his death. How? It says, therefore, we were buried with him. The word are is the word were. In other words, past tense. It's done. When he was buried, we were buried with him by this immersion into death. Like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. We're going to get to that part, the second part of this. But let's remember, first of all, we're dead in Christ. The old man nature, as we're going to see. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was, what? Crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Yay! That's awesome. I love it. You know, we're no longer defined by the old man. That doesn't define us any longer. I love it because the old man's dead. I don't have to try fixing it. Do you know that? Don't have to work on it. Don't have to try fixing it somehow. Because the old man's dead. It's gone. You know, we have a past, guys. We don't have to worry about that anymore. You know, in our walk, as we're going to see, we were raised in Christ, but we can't forget that first part, that we died with him. That happened last Wednesday afternoon. For those of you who have looked at this, Jesus Christ was crucified on a Wednesday afternoon, and then 3 days and three nights later would be a Saturday afternoon, and when he was actually buried, it was Saturday around sunset or so. Wednesday around sunset. So Saturday around sunset is when he got up. Right. Look at Romans 8. See, our old man is dead. Romans 8, verse 6. It says, for to be carnally minded is death. Well, I always thought, well, what does that mean? You know, to be carnally minded is death. I mean, sometimes I've been there, but I'm not dead. But the old man is dead, isn't he? So we don't want to dwell in the old man. That's gone already. And look what it says. But to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But look at this, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh. Ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be, or since it is, that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Does the Spirit of God dwell in each one of us? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We've been born again to God's Spirit. The Spirit of God dwells in us. So therefore, that old man is gone. That's really pretty cool. Well, what happened to the flesh? Got crucified, right? Okay, so the second part, it says, now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Of course, if he doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, he doesn't belong to Christ, right? But if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus Christ, or Jesus from the dead, dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also make alive your mortal bodies. Think about this. Your mortal bodies are going to be made alive by the Spirit that dwells in you. That's our mortal bodies. There's a life-giving thing that goes on when you guys get born again of God's Spirit. It's life. That's why I see bright faces today. We're not in this ooh thing. We're in this wow thing, you know? It's so awesome. Shall make alive your mortal body. See, Jesus Christ took care of it all. There's nothing that should hinder us or hamper us from living the life that God called us to live. Just nothing. He took care of it all. Health, it's there. Life, it's there. Righteousness, it's there. You know, we don't try to fix the old man because it's not there. It's dead. Right? We don't try to figure out our inner child. Okay? Because our inner child, you'd have to go back. Think about it. You'd have to go back to Adam. And what does it say about Adam? That's the old man, right? He was laden with sins. The inner child, guys, is later laden with sin. It's dead. Jesus Christ took care of it. God took care of it by crucifying the inner child. You know what happens when the inner child gets crucified? Right? That's what happens. It's dead. Thank God he took care of that one, so we don't have to like worry about it or anything else. The inner child is gone. We're a new man in Christ. New creations. Look at Romans, back to Romans 6 again. Yeah, I love it. You know, I don't have to worry about, well, you know, I was hurt back when I was a kid or some. It's like, it's gone. Jesus Christ healed it all. Took care of it. We have to set our sights on something else, and we're going to see that in a bit. Romans chapter 6, verse 8. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Awesome. He's no longer subject to death. He dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto who? God. He lives unto God. We're going to see that that's what we do. Because we've also been raised when he was raised. Likewise, reckon yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. So, see that? We're supposed to be what? Reckon. We're to reckon ourselves. I think Gracie, I was working with her on a word study about reckoning. Reckoning is this word that can also be translated account, like an accounting, you know? So what happens when you account for something? Well, you add numbers, right? This plus this. But finally, the total sum is this. That's the answer, right? In this case, the answer is we're dead indeed unto sin. Isn't that cool? But we also, here's part of the other answer, we're alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's really awesome. And he was raised, we were raised with him. And so we're dead to that old man nature. And then verse 12 says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. There it is. We're instruments of righteousness unto God because we've been raised from the dead. See, if we find ourselves falling short of this and not living dead to the old man, what do? Pray. Just thank God that that's not who you really are, because he already took care of it. You know, we thank God who we really are. We sit down and thank God and remember who we are. Look it back to Galatians chapter 2. And we're going to look at that in a little bit. Galatians 2. Verse 20 again. I am crucified with Christ. Again, the word am is was. I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. How do we live? Because we've been crucified, that old man's gone. How do we live? And the life that I now live in the flesh, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. That's how we live. It's Christ in us. We live because it's Christ in us. And actually, that's a figure of speech. It's, if you read it in the Greek, it's Christ I was crucified with, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but in me liveth Christ. Christ starts the whole thing. Christ ends the whole thing. We're encircled by Christ. That's our entire sum total of our life today is Christ. Isn't that cool? And I live by faith, by believing of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We simply believe who we really are. That's how we live. We're raised from the dead in Christ. You see, God had to start all over with us, guys. He couldn't just like fix us part way or, you know, change this part and this part, but everything else. No, he had to go, that's gone. I'm going to just put some new life in him. Here's the new life, Christ. That's what it is. Isn't that neat? He started all over. So, enough with the old man is dead. We know that. He's gone. That's it. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 28. You know that Resurrection Sunday, many times we, you know, Christians might think, oh, you know, that was Jesus Christ. He was raised from the dead. You know, that was him. That's not just him. That's us. But we should take this very personally, because when we read this, let's go to Matthew 28. And in verse 1, it says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. Now, here the word dawn, it's a word that basically means, the way the Jews used to use this, they'd use this word as the new day, the dawn of the new day. But it really, the dawn of the new day to the Jews was dusk, or it was sundown. So it was sunset. So the end of the Sabbath, okay, would have been Saturday at sunset. That's when the Sabbath ended, was at Saturday on sunset. So as it began to dawn, as it began to dusk toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. So this is, we won't go into this, but what happened was a bunch of the women, including Mary Magdalene, watched Joseph of Arimathea bury Jesus Christ and wrap him with what was a linen sheet. And they looked at it and said, that's never going to do. Never. We're going to have to come back and do the job right later. But of course, what happened was, right after they buried him, Joseph did this. Nicodemus came and did it right. So, quote unquote. He came in and wrapped him in the grave clothes with the spices, and he looked basically like a mummy. He didn't quite do it like the Egyptians did it, but he looked kind of like a mummy, basically, with a napkin laid in the grave. But Mary Magdalene and the other ladies didn't know this. And so what they said is, we got to go back. Well, let's see. Wait a minute. Thursday, that's the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's a high day. We can't work then. Okay, well, Friday, we can buy all the stuff. We can get it all together. Well, Saturday, that's the Sabbath. Can't work then. So then this is Saturday evening at dust. So they're going to go back now and look. Well, let's see how the grave looks. Let's see what's going to go on here. So they go and they check it out, and what would they have found? Well, the guards are sitting there guarding it. They're going, all right, I guess we'll go tomorrow morning, you know, check it out. So they look and they say, that's great, and they take off. Right, they're gone. Had they stayed just a little bit longer, they would have seen verse 2. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And this was a really big stone. And the angel, when he sits on the stone, do you think you can lift it, even if you had a crane? No, you couldn't lift it. He opened that door and sat upon it. It also, you know, I guess the word sat many times in the Bible denotes something that's complete, you know, so he sat, that's it, he's up, he's awake, you know, that's at least that's what I see here. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow, and for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead. Notice it doesn't say they became dead, it says they became as dead. Meaning, they were not dead. Because we know later on, if we read, they went back to the high priest and said, hey guys, you know, angel came and knocked us out completely cold, right? We couldn't do anything. We were out. And now, the grave's open. Who knows what's going on, right? So they weren't dead. We know that. But this is the resurrection here. And I was thinking about this. This is the record of the resurrection, and we should take this very personal, because it's almost as if we were there, because when he was raised, we were raised with him. So in our experience, we were raised with him. So when we see, when we remember today, it's like, wow, we live a whole new day. We've been raised from the dead. We can live in Christ now. Isn't that cool? Just remember, all the past is gone. We're moving forward to a new day, alive in Christ. Isn't that awesome? Look at John chapter 20. Here's another record of this, just a little bit afterwards, though. John 20 and in verse 1. And it says, in verse 1 it says, and the first of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark. So here now, it's the first of the week, but it's actually in the morning, but very early. It's before the sun came up. Man, she wants to get to that gravesite. She wants to take care of Jesus Christ. She wants to get him properly buried. So she wants to get there as early as she can, right, to take care of him. She must have really, really loved him. She wanted to take care of this. She still didn't believe, though, that the things that he had said about getting up from the dead, right? But the love is really, really, you can see it there. You know, it's really awesome. So while it was yet dark, she comes to the sepulcher and sees the stone taken away from the sepulcher. That's how I know that she didn't stay long enough to see how the stone got off of there. Because she comes back and goes, the stone's gone. Oh man, what happened? Right? Verse 2, then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they've taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. We. So it says, Peter, therefore, went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. He was faster. He must have taken crack. And came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, he saw the linen clothes. And the word linen there, clothes, is really the wrapping clothes, not the sheet, but like a mummy kind of. He saw them lying there, but went not in. So he just kind of looks in, comes back out. Then comes Simon Peter following, and went into the sepulchre, verse 6, and sees the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by himself, very neatly wrapped together and set there. That's really pretty cool. You come very early in the morning and you see this sight. The clothes are there, but no body inside. And then it says, Then, verse 8, then went in also that other disciple, that which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw, and what? Believed. Why would he have believed? What did he see that got him to believe? He saw these linen clothes laying there, all the wrappings, you know, like a body like this. I wish, there's no movie I've ever seen that has this. Just none that I have ever seen that has this picture. And one of these days, I'd like to make something that looks like this. You know, like maybe with paper mache or something, maybe balloons. You know, I was thinking you could pop the balloons and make it look like this, because it's you can't do it any other way. It's just, the body was laying there. They walk in, and he sees those, and it's almost like the body just kind of went out, and it's not there anymore, you know? So he saw, and he goes, whoa, something happened here, right? That's what he would have done. Man, I tell you, verse 9, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own home, scratching their heads, I might add. And Mary stood outside the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. How many times is this? Well, you know, in, out. Really? Really? You know, right? And sees two angels in white sitting. God, I wonder how they got in there. Because they were just there, right? They saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, I like that, woman. Sometimes I say that to Natalie, woman, why weepest thou? You know, it's really cool. Woman, why weepest thou? Because they have, and then she goes, well, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus turned, she turned herself back, and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, which, how did the gardener get in there, like, around her or something? You know, I mean, this opening was just like this. He must have snuck in or something. You know, it's amazing. She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if you have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. She didn't realize he's just standing right there. Jesus saith unto her, Mary, and she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is master. And that's our natural response, master. She saw the resurrected Christ for the first time and said, master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, unto my God and your God. And when he ascended, what happened? He led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men, right? This is the resurrection. When he was raised, we were raised with him. We're alive from the dead in him. Colossians chapter 3. Yeah, this is a day we can really take personal, you know? Colossians 3 and in verse 1. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, and we have been, because the word if, whenever you read the word, you know, if ye then, it's kind of a rhetorical thing that means since ye have been. Since ye have been, because the only if is just, have you been born again? Have you confessed with your mouth Jesus as Lord, believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead? That's the if, right? I mean, we already have, so then it becomes a since. Since then ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And then look at this. This is not enough. It says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Think about that one. We've been raised from the dead. There's coming a time where we're going to get a new body too. It's not fully manifested today. Today we still have the old bodies, right? Subject to death. But we're going to get a new body. And this new body is going to happen. And we don't know when. I mean, it could be before I end my teaching. It could be the end of the day. It could be tomorrow. I don't know when, you know. I was doing a funeral a few years ago, and I was sharing about just how, you know, you miss that person, but you don't know if you're not going to see them in another week. You just don't know. You don't. It's not sure. Christ comes back in another week, then what? There they are. Hi. In fact, it may be a shorter time than when you didn't see them last time, when you didn't go visit them for 2 months, you know, or whatever it was. Right? That's right. See, we can live the glory life now, though. This is what this is talking about. We seek those things which are above. We can live the glory life now. Look at 1 Corinthians 12. I'm just going to show up a few things about this glory life. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. It says, but the manifestation, you guys know, probably have this memorized almost, you know. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man for profit. It's not talking about, it's talking for profit. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, for one prophet. All of these manifestations here, they're actually spoken as one manifestation because they all kind of come together. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. I think a manifestation is a little bit like, what's a manifestation that you have cold? Well, you need cough, you sneeze. It just happens when you have a cold, right? What happens if you have the Holy Spirit? You have the Spirit of God in Christ in you. You manifest it like this. You know, you'll get, God will give you a word of wisdom sometimes, he'll give you a word of knowledge. Sometimes, you know, by the same Spirit, to another believing, by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing. You know, none of these guys, you know, you'll give healing away to somebody. They get healed. Because why? Because believer was right there. You were right there and they got healed, you know. They just received it, you know. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. We heard that today. Just do it, you know. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers kinds of tongues. We speak in tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. We heard that today. That's man. It's just, it flows out because we have that Holy Spirit. That's that glory walk because Christ got up from the dead because we were raised with him. Isn't that cool? We have Holy Spirit. Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of that new nature, that Spirit, the fruit of the new man that has been raised in Christ, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, believing, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's just the fruit. As we walk in that new nature that we already are, that fruit just falls off the tree, you know, whatever, I don't know, it goes. Isn't that neat? We have that fruit. We bear that fruit. 1 Corinthians 13. I guess we were there. We flipped over. 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. I'll tell you one thing. If I ever met somebody that could do this, you know, all knowledge, all prophecy, all that stuff, I don't know, I've never met anybody like that. Not even the Pope does that, you know. I don't know who. But apparently it's possible to do that and still not walk in love. Apparently. At least it says right here, you could do all that stuff. That'd be a super believer to me, anyway. But notice it says love, right? Love is the bigger deal here. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, Actually, let's go to verse 4. We'll go there. Charity suffereth long. Charity is patient, in other words, is kind. Charity envies not, that's the love of God, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not provoked, or not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity never fails. It says, charity suffereth long. You know what that means? You're a patient person. That's what it means. Don't ever let anybody tell you you're not a patient person. You're a patient person because of the love of God that got shed abroad in your hearts. That's right. This is a life to which we've been raised. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 has been called, Ephesians has been called the breakfast of champions. Wow. Ephesians 1:3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. You know, we could just sit down and pray and thank God for this, that we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings, just to really take it in. Thank God for it, you know. Verse 15 says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. He can do all this. He can show us these things, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. We can get this resurrection power that when he wrought, he worked it in Christ and he raised him from the dead. This resurrection power, we can get it when we believe. That's pretty cool. It's available to us. Isn't that cool? When he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Everything's included here. And hath put all under his feet and gave him to be head over all to the church. This is the part I really like. Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Everything is under his feet. And in the church, right? The church is his what? Body. Are we part of the church? Okay, so if the church is his body and everything's under his feet, then where does that put us? Far above all principality and power as well, right? Isn't that cool? They're under our feet. Look at Romans 5. Romans 5. I'll close here in Romans 5. Kind of the sum total, I guess, of things. It says, let's see, verse 5 says, and hope maketh not ashamed. Well, actually, I'll just read verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by believing into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations and pressures also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience. You know, we glory in tribulations. I love that, you know. We glory in them. Man, bring them on. Why? Because they work patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because why? The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. That's the resurrection walk, the love of God. You know, we have that shed abroad in our hearts. We could walk that way. Isn't that cool? I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through the first part of 8 from the NIV, because I think it's really cool. It just says, maybe some of you have the NIV, you can follow along. 1 Corinthians 4, or 13, 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. You know, thinketh no evil. I've seen another translation that is takes no account of a suffered wrong. Keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. That's who we have been raised. That's what we have been raised to, you know, the resurrection. Today we remember that Jesus Christ got up from the dead. But not only him, we did too. We got up from the dead too. And boy, if all of this is not enough, you get to look forward to when he comes back and get that new body and live, really, really experience that part of it too. Wow. It's, you know, we have a glory walk now, and then we can walk that glory walk for all eternity because we belong to him. So God bless. Thank you.